Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with sincere hearts to confess our sins to God our Father and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord.
To be praised,
and his greatness is unsearchable.
They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds,
and I will declare your greatness.
They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness,
and shall sing aloud of your righteousness.
Ever shall be.
Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Let us pray.
Almighty and most merciful God, the protector of all who trust in you, strengthen our faith and give us courage to believe that in your love you will rescue us from all adversities. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the fifth Sunday in Apostles' Tide is from the first book of Moses called Genesis, the ninth chapter. God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "Behold, I establish my covenant with you and your offspring after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the livestock, and every beast of the earth with you, as many as came out of the ark. It is for every beast of the earth. I establish my covenant with you that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." And God said, "This is the sign of the covenant that I make between you and me and every living creature that is with you for all generations. I have set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth." God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all flesh that is on earth." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Give thanks to the God of heaven.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
Give thanks to the God of gods.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
Give thanks to the Lord of lords.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
To him who alone does great wonders.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
To him who by understanding made the heavens.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
To him who spread out the earth above the waters.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
To him who made the great lights.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
The sun to rule over the day.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
And the moon and the stars to rule over the night.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Give thanks to the God of heaven,
for his steadfast love endures forever.
The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus, the third chapter. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses all knowledge, that you may be filled with all of the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to St. Mark, the 6th chapter.
Glory be to you, Lord.
Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had taken leave of them, he went up on the mountain to pray. And when evening came, the boat was out on the sea, and he was alone on the land. And he saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. He meant to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased. And they were utterly astounded, for they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. When they had crossed over, they came to land at Gennesaret and moored to the shore. And when they got out of the boat, the people immediately recognized him and ran about the whole region and began to bring the sick people on their beds to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he came, in villages, cities, or countryside, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and implored him that they might touch even the fringe of his garment. And as many as touched it were made well. This is the gospel of the Lord. What do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten. Substance with the Father, by whom all things were made,
Mercy and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
From the Gospel reading, Mark chapter 6, when the disciples saw Jesus walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Don't be afraid." This is our text. If I told you that the Christian life would be easy, that the Christian life would be simple and easy, I'd be lying. And if anyone else were to tell you that the Christian life is easy, they would be lying too. Christianity is true, and the Christian life is good, but following Jesus Christ isn't easy. Just ask the disciples. There's nothing easy about trusting Jesus. Not when he makes you climb into a boat and then goes off to pray by himself. And that's true even if there are other experienced sailors in the boat with you. There's nothing easy about trusting Jesus, not when the wind is against you and the waves are all up in your face so that you can't even see where you're going and you're really struggling but getting nowhere fast. There's nothing easy about trusting Jesus, not when it's the middle of the night and you don't know what in the world or maybe what from another world you're seeing and hearing, and terror grips you. The disciples had been there. They had been there in all of those places. It happened right after Jesus fed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go across the sea while he went up on the mountain to pray. He made them get into the boat. Now, they probably didn't have a second thought about it. They were good sailors. They'd been on the Sea of Galilee before, until the middle of the night came along. And then I suspect if they had a moment, they might have been scratching their head saying, "Why in the world did he make us get into this boat?" No second thoughts until the middle of the night, until that thing came to them walking on the sea. It isn't always easy to trust Jesus. It's not always easy to listen to him. It's not always easy to let him guide your life. You may not want to go where he sends you. You may not want to hear what he has to say. You may not want to do what he tells you to do, or maybe you really want to do what he tells you not to do. Maybe you don't think that he'll keep his promises to you. Maybe you're not sure that he'll really see you through and meet you on the other side. I wonder what your trust issues with Jesus are today, because we all have them. And it's way easier not to trust Jesus. It's way easier to turn back. It would have been far easier for the disciples to leave the boat and walk away from him, to go their own direction, to decide that they can't trust anyone except themselves. At the very least, it's easier to doubt Jesus, especially when he's pushed you out into the middle of the sea of a stormy lake on a dark night, and he's nowhere to be seen. What does he know about what we're going through right now, we wonder? What was he thinking when he sent us into this mess, we ask? Where is he? Or more likely, based on the example of the disciples and our own life experience, more likely, we're not thinking about him at all, but we're only thinking about ourselves and the wind and the waves and how we're going to get ourselves out of this mess. Did you notice what the disciples didn't do in the middle of the storm? At least in the way that Mark tells it to us. They never cried out to him for help. Not even once. Not that we hear, anyway. Now, maybe they thought Jesus was too far away because he's out there on the mountain praying and they're in the middle of the lake, but they never once pray to him. Oh, they were busy pulling at the oars. They were busy bailing out that water. They were busy probably sniping and snapping at each other. They were so busy trying to rescue themselves that they weren't even thinking about Jesus. Now, I'm not saying that you should drop the oars and the buckets in the middle of a storm. That's not the lesson today. If God gives you a bucket and oars in the middle of the storm, by all means, use them. But how about praying as well? How about calling out to Him for help while you frantically toss water over the side? Because God invites us to call to Him. He invites us to call to Him in every single trouble. I wonder what it will be like when we pass through the pearly gates one day and God looks at our lives with us and He points out all those moments of trouble that we had in which we never once called out to Him for help. Can you imagine? I don't think He's going to throw it in our face. Prayer to God is a gift. It is a privilege, and it is a privilege that's been given to you and to me, even if we often neglect it. And it is a spiritual tool. Yes, buckets and oars can be great, but prayer is a wonderful gift and tool from God that He gives us for every single one of life's storms. Now, the disciples weren't praying for Jesus. They weren't looking for Jesus. They weren't even hoping for Jesus. I'm not sure He was even on their minds. That might be why they weren't ready for Him when He showed up, when He came to them across the water, and they thought He was a ghost. You heard what it said. All of them were terrified. Peter and Andrew and James and John and all 12 of them were scared out of their minds. Why was that? They found it easier to believe in ghost stories than in their God, which I suppose is not that hard to understand. How many find it easier to believe in a haunted house or a supernatural occurrence than in the resurrection of Christ? How many are fascinated by UFO stories but find the Gospels boring or unbelievable? But still, Jesus came to them. Still, Jesus came to them, an unidentified object walking on the sea. And Mark tells us that Jesus meant to pass by them. He was just going to walk right on past. That's strange, isn't it? Why would He do that? What would be the point? To walk past them in that moment, Jesus would have done it to strengthen them with a show of His power. In the middle of a storm, it's enough just to glimpse Jesus and know that He's near. In the middle of a storm, it's enough just to hear His strong and reassuring voice. In the middle of a storm, it's enough just to be reminded that He sees you and that He loves you and that He will never let you perish, not eternally. Seeing Jesus walk across the water is even better than seeing a rainbow. On our vacation when we were in Iowa, we saw a double rainbow. It wasn't crystal clear all the way through, but it was absolutely gorgeous and amazing. Every rainbow is a sign of God's promise never again to destroy the earth with water. A good rainbow is stunning. But Jesus, the one walking on the water that day, is the one who created the rainbow. He's the one who set the colors in their order. And just to see Jesus pass by is a reminder of what Job said about God. He alone stretched the heavens out, and He trampled on the waves of the sea. The wind and the waves that frighten us are nothing to Him. The disorder and chaos of this fallen world are under His feet. The depths cannot swallow Him, and they cannot keep those who are His. They cannot have you. He stretched out the sea. He marked out the boundaries of the water, and He walks across the water as if He owns it, because He does. And He comes across the water for His disciples. And they still don't get it. When He's walking across those waves, they think He's a ghost. They don't get it. Do you? They didn't realize that this was God in the human flesh, come to rescue and save them and to remind them of His power and might over the entire creation. Instead of being comforted when they saw Jesus, they were terrified. But our Lord will not leave them in their terror, and He will not leave you in terror either. Without hesitation, Without waiting a second moment, Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Don't be afraid. Take heart, it is I. Don't be afraid." This same Jesus is the Jesus who went to the cross for your sake and for mine. He walked on the water, he treaded on the depths, and then he went into the depths of our sin and our fallen world, and the depths of death itself when he hung on the cross and was buried. I'll tell you, there's something greater that he did. There's something he did that's greater than walking on the water. It's when he walked out of the tomb on the third day. Even better than walking across the sea is coming out of the grave and coming out of death, showing that he has triumphed and he is victorious, so that there is no storm, there are no wind, no waves, not even death itself that can rob you of Jesus or rob Jesus of you. You belong to him. You belong to the one who is Lord of the wind and the waves. You belong to the one who is master of death. You belong to the one who has conquered the devil and who has paid for every single sin. You are his. And he says to you today, "Take heart. It is I. Don't be afraid." You can trust this Jesus. You can trust him even when you're not sure that you can see him clearly. You can trust him even when it's a shadowy sort of presence coming to you over the wind and the waves. You can trust him even when his word sounds like a still, small voice, just a whisper in your ear, reminding you that he loves you and that he is near. Our Lord went through the chaos. He went through the dread. He went through the depths, and he stands on the other side alive, risen from the dead, as your Lord and as your Savior. And yes, I know we may still at times find ourselves out in a stormy sea in the middle of the night. We may find the waves and the wind crashing against us. The rains seem like they'll never end. The storms continue. And still Jesus says to you, today, tomorrow, through every storm and every wind and every rain, take heart. It is I. Don't be afraid. Take heart. It is I. Don't be afraid. The Christian life here isn't easy. It's not always easy to follow Jesus. It's not always easy to trust that he'll be there. It's not always easy to believe that he'll meet us on the other side, whether we make it across or sink to the bottom. But he will. We belong to him. He redeemed us by his own suffering and death. And he comes to us now across death to remind us that we are his and that he is ours. And that as we live under him in his kingdom now, we will live under him in his kingdom there forever. But there will be no storms anymore. There will be no wind. There will be no waves. In the book of Revelation, it says there is no longer any sea. The threatening chaos of water will not be there. But our Lord will be there, shining in all his brilliance, in all his glory. Our Lord will be there to greet us, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Don't be afraid." In Jesus' name, amen. And now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen.
Christ, the light that
pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty and eternal God, worthy to be held in reverence by all people everywhere, we give you humble and sincere thanks for the innumerable blessings that you have bestowed on us without any merit or worthiness on our part. We praise you especially for preserving for us your saving word and the holy sacraments. Grant and preserve to your holy church throughout the world purity of doctrine, and provide faithful pastors to preach your word with power. Help all who hear the word rightly to understand and truly to believe it. Send laborers into your harvest and open the door of faith to those who do not know you. In mercy, bring to repentance the enemies of your church and grant them amendment of life. Protect and defend your church in all tribulation and danger. Strengthen us and all fellow Christians to set our hope fully on the grace revealed in Christ, and help us to fight the good fight of faith, that in the end we may receive the salvation of our souls. Bestow your grace on all nations of the earth. Bless especially our country, its inhabitants, and all who are in authority, as well as those who serve in the armed forces of our nation and their families. Let your glory dwell in our land, that mercy and truth, righteousness and peace may abound in all places. We commend to you the care of our schools, so that our children may grow in useful knowledge and Christian virtue, and thus bring forth wholesome fruits of life. Graciously defend us from all calamity by fire and water, from war and pestilence, from scarcity and famine, and from every other evil. Be with all who are in times of transition, especially Dave and Kim Purinton, leading them and supporting them with your love as they move. Protect and prosper all who labor in their rightful callings, and let all useful arts flourish among us. Be the God and Father of the lonely and the forsaken, the helper of the sick and needy, the comforter of the distressed and those who sorrow. Especially we pray that you would look with mercy on Karen Hamill, Rick Silvestro, and Andrea Wetmore, who are homebound, Kristen Gregory, Ed Schaefer, Ann Blaze, Marge Connell, Paula, Randy Hunter, Rosemarie Jackson, Gary Kengis, George Kengis, Jesse Kengis, Nancy Kengis, Nancy McTighe, John Meyer Jr., Sandra Meyer, Phyllis Moss, Lucy Naylor, MJ Oakes, Ed Pinard, and Alicia Reinhardt. Except we implore you our bodies and souls, our hearts and minds, our talents and powers, together with the offerings we bring before you as our humble service. Grant your Holy Spirit to those who come to the Lord's table this day, that they may receive the body and blood of Jesus Christ in sincere repentance and firm faith, and to their abundant blessing. As we are strangers and pilgrims on earth, help us by true faith and a godly life to prepare for the world to come, doing the work you have given us to do while it is day, before the night comes when no one can work. And when our last hour comes, support us by your power and receive us into your heavenly kingdom, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is good and right that we do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy.
Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Oh.
the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
To the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endures forever.
Let us pray. We thank you, all-powerful God, for refreshing us with this healing gift, and we pray, Father of mercy, by this holy food make us strong in faith towards you and in deep love for each other, that through us, other beloved sinners may kneel to you and receive with us grace and life in Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.